Pretty excited about our friend coming to speak with us this morning, Reggie spoke with us back in December, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, and we asked him to give his testimony that day and preach a little. And what happened was he preached a lot, and it was awesome. Come on up, Reg. He's got a message for you today that I think is just right for this place and this time and what our community has been going through. And so I'm thankful for you, Reggie. I'm thankful for you for saying yes and responding to God's call on his life. If you heard his testimony, he took kind of a roundabout way to get here. But we're privileged to be a part of his story and be a part of the message that he has for us today. So, Reggie, I'm going to get some of this stuff out of your way here, man. Carrie prayed for you already, so I'm not going to interrupt that, but God bless you and thank you. Would you welcome Reggie Bird?
God is good.
All the time.
God is good. God is good. And all the time, God is good. First, I would like to give glory to God, the creator, the founder of my life, Christ my Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, which leads me day by day. Amen. For everybody who has joined us today, who is joining us on Facebook, or who will see this later on streaming on the internet, I say welcome and God bless you. To the church, my Church of Engaged Newark, Pastor Dave, for inviting me to preach here today, I say thank you. So I ask you guys, can I preach here today? Yes. Can I preach here today?
Yes.
Well, let's get right into it, all right? From the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9 through 10, the disciple Peter writes to the church of Christians at the time, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him that called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not received mercy, but now have received mercy." Now, in contrast to the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah writes, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel." I would like to preach to you for a moment today from the subject of out of the darkness comes diamonds. How many people were afraid of the dark when they were kids? Hey, raise hands. Me too. I was afraid of the dark when I was a child. The shadows from the tree limbs outside of the windows of the homes that I lived in, they looked like the stick man was coming to get me. I was always afraid. You had Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees would chase you in the dark. Freddy Krueger would come and get you in your dreams. It was the boogeyman. As children, we are conditioned to believe that only bad things happen in the dark. And as we get older, our perception of the dark doesn't much change. The only thing that changes are the situations and circumstance that we prescribe to the dark. As we grow older, we say it's the darkest of days. The darkness of grief, the darkness of depression, the darkness of despair, the darkest of night. He was in the darkest moods. We even called it the dark ages. Some would even go as far as to say that we are living in dark times now. There has been a 47% raise in suicide deaths of young people in the age range of 15 to 19 since the year 2000. According to the CDC, the average U.S. suicide rate increased 33% from 1999 to 2017, giving us the highest suicide rate that we've seen since World War II. Drug overdose rates rose from 16,849 in 1999 to 70,237 in 2017. Every time you turn on the news, there is always some type of evil and depraved act being reported. We are struggling to find meaning and understanding or a way through the dark times of our lives. We begin to feel like this is all there is and nothing good is going to come. But children of God, I'm here to tell you that it is in these darkest times that God works his greatest miracles. We go back to the beginning, to the first book of Genesis. It reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. Darkness vanished from his presence. There was light. The world began. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." Let me say this to you again. "And the evening and the morning were the first day." God didn't start the world off in the light. The world started off in the dark, that he may bring the light to the world. I thank God that he knew that that's what we would need, and that's where we would be, need to begin to be able to understand and experience the blessings that he had set forth for us. If you don't believe me, it goes even farther, okay? When God went to give woman to be man's companion, what did he do? He put Adam to sleep. He put him in the dark so he could reach inside of him and bring out something that he didn't even know exists. So I say to you today that sometimes God allows you to go into the darkness so he can bring out of you what you don't even know that you have, so that he can form you into the person that he plans for you to be. Look at the way that we all come into the world, okay? As children, we are conceived in the dark. Now, I understand the act may happen in the light sometimes, okay? But we are conceived in the dark. The seed finds the egg in the dark. The child, the fetus, is formed in the darkness of his mother's wombs. That way, the eyes are protected from the light. The senses of the child are protected from the light, because if the light hits it too soon, it will ruin the sight of the child, and the child will be born blind. I thank God that he knows to start us off in the dark, that we may form and become who he plans for us to be, so he can bring us out into the light, because when that baby is born, it brings joy to the eyes of those who behold it. Am I wrong? Take an old camera. Take a picture with an old camera. It's not like today where you plug it into a computer or instantly save it to a card. It's digital. That's not how it used to be. You take an old camera, you take a picture, you had to develop the picture in the dark, because if you expose it to light too soon, the picture would be ruined. How many of you guys feel like you may be an old picture? You've gone through so many things, so much pain. You find yourself in the darkness. But I tell you today that God needed to form you in the darkness so that way you could be ready for the light he put you in, so you can bring your joy to the world. Take Daniel, for instance. He was persecuted and thrown into the lion's den for praising God properly, for choosing not to praise man, but to praise the one true God of Israel. They threw him in the lion's den. They covered the lion's den with a stone. They left him in the dark with the most fearsome king of the jungle. But what did God do? He sent the angel into the darkness to shut the mouths of the lion, so that way no harm came to his chosen, his called Daniel. And out of that, the king turned and said, "All praise be to the God of Daniel." He saved Daniel in the darkness so that his name could be praised in the light. We'll take Lazarus, okay? Lazarus laid in the tomb 4 days. They thought his body would be stinking. Stone rolled in front of the tomb opening. Jesus comes and he tells them to remove the stone from the tomb. They say, "Lord, by now it's been 4 days. He's going to stink. Don't take him out of that darkness. He's going to stink. We don't want to smell that. We don't want to see that. Leave him there. Leave him in the darkness." Jesus says, roll away the stone. "Lazarus, come out of that darkness." Lazarus comes walking out. He tells him to unbind him from his grave clothes, so that way the glory to God through him can be shown, that even the darkness of death had no power over his word and over his name. Now we, as people, we like to place importance and value on the physical things that we can touch and see. So lastly, I want to talk to you today about diamonds. Diamonds are not formed from coal, as some would believe. What it actually is there's carbon particles deep down in the darkness of the earth. Scientists don't know why they are. Scientists don't know where they come from. All they know is that they exist. But deep down in this darkness of the earth, the pressure from all the earth pushing down on top of them begins to make the carbon particles bound together. The intense heat from being underneath that far in the earth begins to help the diamonds form into diamond crystals. They sit down there. They don't know how long this takes. All they know is that the process and the time for no two diamonds is alike. None at all. You will never find two diamonds that are exactly alike. But after some time and after this process, there's a volcanic eruption that quickly moves the diamond crystals to the surface of the earth. And it is through this eruption, this quick eruption and this quick movement, that these hundreds of carbon particles bind together and become forevermore a diamond. At that point, they cannot be changed. The only thing they can change into is diamond dust. But it doesn't stop there. At that point, even once on Earth, a diamond still does not have value. Because, see, a diamond does not shine in or by itself. A diamond only shines when it's in the presence of the light. And once it shines in the presence of the light, the diamond's value and clarity can be ascertained, and then it is brought forth to the world. People, I come to tell you today, don't let the darkness of your life fool you. You are God's diamonds, okay? We have all these problems in our lives, and many times we find ourselves calling out to God, "Why is this happening to me? Why this? Why that?" We go through this struggle where we don't understand carbon particles. We don't know where they come from or why they come from, but they just are. We deal with the pressures of the world, the way that people want us to be, the way that people want us to speak, the way they say we should look. We deal with this world of instant gratification that tells you that you must be somebody famous in order to be considered somebody. For a lot of us, that breaks us. We can't handle the pressure. We fall deep into the darkness of despair. The heat that comes along with our addictions, the heat that comes along with our financial problems, our family struggles, begins to break us. It begins to cook us. But I tell you today, family, that the heat that you're under is not meant to bake you. It's meant to make you. The pressure that you're under is not meant to break you. It's meant to bind you and mold you. Because in the darkness of your life, it's when God is working. God is forming you into what he plans for you to be. He does not intend for us to stay in this darkness. He intends to cause an eruption in your life that is going to bring you to the surface, that you might reflect the light of the life that was given to save you forevermore. You are purposed to be somebody special. You were made special. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be skinny. It doesn't matter if you're fat. It doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, what you are. It does not matter. God has purposed you to be something special. God has taken the struggles in your life and he has taken them and binded them and molded them for you to become the instrument of his praise, that you may bring his blessings forth to the world and they forevermore may see the light that he has shined out of the darkness. We struggle to understand these things. The human mind only comprehends what it wants to comprehend, but that's why the word tells us we are to walk by faith and not by sight. You take the poem Footprints. You have a gentleman walking throughout his whole life, and in the good times, he sees two sets of footprints. But in the bad times, he only sees one. And he says to the Lord, "Lord, when I look back over my life and I'm struggling, why is it here that I see one set of footprints? Why would you leave me alone? You said that you would walk with me forever." But it is there that God tells him, "I carried you. When your feet begin to hurt, it was me who put my hand on your back and nudged you a little bit farther. When your legs begin to shake, it was me who put my arm around your shoulder and pulled you a little bit farther. When your legs got so weak that you couldn't stand, let alone walk, it was me who picked you up and carried you into the light that I have for you. You did not walk alone. I've always been there. I will always be there. Don't let this world tell you that your darkness is going to last. Don't let this world tell you that that's all you are. You're a bad father. You're a drug addict. You can't control the family. You can't keep your finances together. You are nobody. You are nothing. Because the Lord God says, I am the one who called you by your name. I didn't call you by what the world tells you you are. I didn't call you by what other people see in you. I didn't call you by what you think you see in yourself. I called you by your name because I created you. I know who you are. I have purposes for you. You are my diamond. Come forth into the world. Let your light shine. I'm not going to keep you much longer. That's all I was sent here to tell you today. There's somebody out here who is struggling in their grief. There's many of us out here who are struggling in this depression, whether seasonal, whether a chemical imbalance. We are struggling. We are struggling in addictions. We are struggling to deal with self-image. We are struggling to deal with the way that the world sees us and tells us we are. We have young children out here struggling because they're coming from broken homes. They are struggling because they cannot hold their grades in school. They are struggling because they don't know where their life is leading to them. It is at this times that we must understand in these darknesses that we are diamonds. It is at this times that we need to be given to the children of the world the fact and the belief that they are diamonds and they are loved more valuable than anything they've ever known. God is with you. This darkness does not last. This darkness is not what you think it is. It is just a time for you to form. Because out of the darkness, I promise you, come diamonds. So I say to you today, church, diamonds, come forth, and in the light of Jesus Christ, shine. Thank you.